I want to speak about the breaker at the gate. The breaker at the gate. And in every generation, there's somebody who comes and just redefines things. That's because the breaker is operating in him and through him, or in her and through her. Like when Parham came around and you had the baptism of the Spirit that showed up as a result. Now, the baptism of the Spirit was in multiple places, but Parham was the one who became the main generator that God was using. And it changed Christianity and the faith of Christianity in a major way. Then Hagin comes along with the word of faith, and it shifts again. It shifts everything that's happening in the Christian faith. And so every generation, there's something that God is doing, and you just got to begin to see it and hold on to it and run with it. God is going to be releasing a new thing all the time. It's his heart to continually change us. It's his heart to not let things be stale, but to be transformative in his offering to us. Amen? If you would, go with me to 2 Samuel. I'm going to get there in just a moment. But in Gilgal, remember when we went to Gilgal? We had that big service. Everybody came in, and they came through a door over here. And then we were in Gilgal. And then eventually we queued up at this door over here and were released into the promise. Say that with me, released into the promise. I want you to understand that there's something that happens at these gates. See, this was an opportunity to graduate from the wilderness. Gilgal basically means to roll away. Basically, they were rolling away the reproach. They were rolling away the reproach, which means disgrace, removing disgrace and shame, removing the effects of slavery that had been ongoing in the Jewish people. But most important, it was also a moment of renewing the covenant with Israel. Causing Israel to understand its identity individually and corporately. It's time for us to see and understand our identity both corporately and individually, because that identity is going to shift. That's what God uses to shift everything around us. When we see who we are, when we see who he's called us to be, when we stand in it, regardless of what might be going on around us, when we stand in it, we're standing in agreement. And when we stand in it, now that means he has something to work with to cause it to pass. Hallelujah. One of the things I want you to understand about Gilgal wasn't an end. It's the launching place. It's the launching place. It wasn't somewhere just to arrive at and then you camp. That was a temporary season to camp there. It's time to launch there. It's time to launch, because they stayed there for a few days. They stayed there long enough to heal up. But then they were off into the promised land. They were off into receiving the Passover. And that's why everybody had to be circumcised, because he said he don't let any uncircumcised person. Because that's a reminder of their covenant. Don't let any uncircumcised person partake of the Passover. So they all had to be doing that in order to go through. Hallelujah. Every door, every gate, every passage is basically something that's A, protecting something. In other words, you don't put a door up for no reason. It's also separating. Say we separated the green room from the rest of the sanctuary over there with a door. That prayer room is separated with a door. It doesn't necessarily have to be protected in this particular instance, but it does need to be separated. Because God wants us to understand and see things in the way that he sees them, which can be very different, okay? It's a narrow place. Remember when we were queued up over here, everybody was coming through and we were all walking through pretty well in a line, and all of a sudden we get to this place and it started queuing up. Because why? Because the door is a narrow place. A door is a narrow place. But you don't have to be afraid of a narrow place. A narrow place is a place of preparation. It's not a place to be afraid of. It's a place to be empowered. Hallelujah. When there's a narrow place, there's an increased pressure, and then an acceleration and expansion. in a carburetor, I don't want to geek out for you for just a moment. In a carburetor, when you see the top of the carburetor, the air is coming down into the carburetor, then it comes to a narrow place in that throat, and then there'll be a throttle body. That's the gate. But when that throttle body opens up, the air that's there has to accelerate because the same volume can't fit unless it accelerates. But when it accelerates, it creates a vacuum behind it, which draws the fuel, which is the power that we're looking for. So that squeezing is actually preparing you for the acceleration that releases the authority to go with you. Hallelujah. Somebody should have said amen. Glory to God. I said go to 2 Samuel, right? 2 Samuel 5. This is David. Go to verse 19. David is facing a whole lot of the enemy here. Verse 19 says, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up with unto the Philistines? Wilt thou give them into my hand? And the Lord said, go up, for I'll certainly give the Philistines into your hand. And so David came to Baal Perazim and defeated him there. And he said, the Lord has broken through my enemies before me like the breakthrough of waters. And therefore he named the place Baal Perazim. And they abandoned their idols there, so that David and his men carried them away and burned them. I want you to notice something. You have a voice. You're allowed to inquire of the Lord. You have a voice so you can cry out to him. You have a voice that when the enemy comes after you, you can say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do I deal with this? Baal Perazim means the Lord of the breakthrough. Or the possessor of the breach. Perez is a breach. It can be a loud cry. It can be an outburst, a bursting forth. What it's implying or what it's showing you is like a dam where it develops a crack. And that crack starts water coming through, and all of a sudden there's a bursting forth that happens. God is causing himself to be that bursting forth on our behalf as he'll come and he'll flood over the situation because you gave him the opportunity by releasing your voice. I want you to know, basically, so we were going from a confined space to an enlarged space. That water is, it shoots through there. In China, there was a large, it was a several mile wide dam and 1,600 feet tall or something, and it broke. Entire towns below it were just wiped out in minutes. When the Lord comes shooting through the breach, there's nothing that's going to stand in his way. Hallelujah. I want you to notice something in verse 21. It said they abandoned their idols there. See, they had taken their idols there thinking that they could be like Israel. Because Israel used to carry the Ark of the Covenant into the battle with them. And the Ark, in the presence of the Ark of the Covenant, would win the battle. And so they figured that, hey, they brought their idols. I'm going to bring my idol. But guess what? God's presence doesn't care about their idol. God's presence is far greater than their idol. So the breaker prevails over the idols of the enemy. It's time for us to quit giving the enemy so much credit and start giving our God the credit he deserves, because he's the one who bursts forth over those situations. He's the one who will burst forth. If we'll look to the Lord, he'll burst forth into the situation. Go with me to Micah. Micah 2. In Micah 2, it says this. The breaker has come up before them, and they have broken up and passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. This is a prophetic moment, a prophetic title. It's basically announcing Jesus as the king. It's also announcing Jesus as the breaker. You could actually capitalize the breaker there. Because it's referring to the Lord and his function with us. His function with us. He came, it was a prophetic title because he came as a pioneer, breaking down walls and opening what was shut. Shattering the power of sin and death and the grave. In other words, to put it in one real simple terms, he's the one that brings the wow. He brings the wow into the situation. He brings the wow into the moment. Why? Because he totally shifts and changes things in an instant. But this is the breaker that's made available to us to deal with the situations around us. But it's, guess what? Until we see it and hear it and employ it, it's not happening. So we want to see it, hear it, and employ it. Glory to God. How do I know it was referring to the Lord Jesus? Well, Isaiah 10:27 says what? The anointing breaks the yoke, referring to the Christ. And who is Christ? Christ wasn't just his name. It wasn't his last name. It wasn't Jesus Christ. It was his title. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. So in other words, what he's telling us is that the anointed one and his anointing are what comes and breaks the yoke. It comes and breaks the bondages. Whatever bondage we may have over us, it's the anointed one and his anointing that comes to break the bondage. It's the anointed one who comes to deal out deliverance. It comes to deal out healing. It comes to deal out whatever you have need of. Hallelujah. Well, supernatural empowerment. Breaking off demonic impression. I don't know, has anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but has anybody had a little demonic impression happen in their life recently? You don't have to stay there because he's the one who comes to break it off with the anointing. The more that we look to him as our answer and the less time we spend looking at the enemy, the greater we're going to have success. You know, as doing Sozo and whatnot, I see some people sometimes that are kind of very demonically inspired people. I've had people sit there and look at me and said, "The devil says he's going to take you out." And I just looked at him and said, "No, he's not. Because, you know, if he could, he had already done it. And you wouldn't be sitting here." So my point with all that is that sometimes they have, but see, I don't worry about those things because I have greater faith in my God than I do in their devil. That's what we need. Let's have a greater faith in our God. Let's start insisting on it and standing in agreement with him. Glory. Glory. Glory, God, glory. So the anointing is breaking the yoke. Now I want to tie that to John 10 for me for just a moment. You know, have you been to John 10 recently? Right now you're going there. John 10 is where verse 9 is where Jesus introduces himself as what? The door. He's introducing himself as the door. I didn't see this until recently, but I began to tie the breaker and the door. So when I'm actually entering through the door, I'm entering into the one who is the breaker. And so now I have a right to stand with the breaker in agreement for whatever situation that I'm up against to shift and to change. Nice. When I stand in agreement with him as the breaker, I'm stepping through the door of faith. And I'm stepping into my place with the Lord. As I step into my place with the Lord, I'm stepping with the breaker to go deal with that situation. I don't have to be under the enemy's thumb. I got one who's already on top. Amen. The one who's going to deliver. The one who's going to set free. The one who's going to heal. Whatever it is that I'm facing, he's the one who's capable of dealing with it. And so no longer do I have to try to enter in and go, "Oh, Jesus, if you would just look upon your poor servant, And I promise I won't sin again. I promise that I'll try to get over it. No, you can come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace because the breaker is with you. The breaker is upon you and he's with you. And as you as you're walking through that door, you're putting the breaker on. And he's the one who's declaring your situation to the Father. He goes, Hey Father, I got this one over here. Lord, he's one of my cherished ones and I want to bring him to you. And Lord, I ask you to just breathe on him and breathe life into his situation. Glory to God. So when I begin to see him, he says, I am the door. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I didn't realize it before, but what he's actually describing here are the actions of the breaker. He's going to be, first of all, he's going to be saved. Well, the first thing the breaker is going to do is renew the covenant, renew your identity. He's going to bring a restoration to favor. And when he says, I'm going to go in and out on what? I'm going to go into his presence. I'm going to go into his anointing. I'm going to go into his light. I'm going to go in with him in alignment, in agreement. And then he says that he comes out. Well, guess what? I used to always look at that difference saying, have to come back out. Why would I come back? No, I'm coming out of the darkness. I'm coming out of the reproach, right? He's rolling off. It's another rollback moment. He's rolling off the reproach, and I'm going out of the shame and out of the chains that have bound me. Whether they're physical, whether they're mental, or emotional, social, it doesn't matter. He's going to take you out so that you can go in. Hallelujah. So you can go right back out. Glory to God. Go in. Go out. Go in. Break forth. Break in. Break out. Break forth. Hallelujah. More than that in a minute. Go with me to First Kings 7. This was one that LaRue used to say a lot. I haven't for a little bit. But 1 Kings 7, he says, and he set up the pillars in the, verse 21. He set up the pillars on the porch of the temple, and he set up the right pillar and called the name thereof Yakin, and he set up the left pillar and called the name thereof Boaz. Yakin means he will establish. That was where the priests would come by that pillar and coming in. He will establish. In other words, it's setting where your faith is as he's going to want to establish. And then Boaz is in him is our strength. It was the call of kings to be in alignment with that pillar. And as they would go, what stood in the middle of that was what they called the passage of Yahweh, going into the sanctuary. It's a picture of us going in. So we're setting, being established as kings and priests and going into the presence of the Lord. As we go into his courts, we go into his sanctuary, it's because he's already established you as a king and a priest. So that brings me to point one. Entering in releases the power of the breaker on your behalf. Going in releases the power of the breaker on your behalf. Zechariah 4:6, I'm going to say this one because it's real familiar to a lot of us. That he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. In other words, not by might means it's not of a military collective authority or power. When he was talking about the not by might, when he's talking about power individually, that's an individual power. It's an individual muscle, brawn that we can bring to a situation. There are things that can be moved by your individual muscle or brawn. There are things that can be moved by your military. Trump proved that this week. Okay, there's things that can happen. I know, I just had to throw that in there. So, but here's what I want you to understand. The breaker is a working of grace, not our individual brawn, not our collective brawn or individual power. Glory to God. Now, I want to just turn you to the life of Moses. If you go to Exodus with me, I'm going to go to Exodus 2 just for a second, verse 11. For I will go with you. This is Moses. And what am I looking at? I'm looking at the wrong thing. I don't know where. Oh, Exodus 2, and I'm in 12. That's why. It makes it hard to align. Now, in those days, when Moses had grown up, he went out to his brethren and looked upon the hard labors. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no one around, he struck down the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. This is Moses. He was eventually known as the most humble man who ever lived. He was obviously not that humble man in this moment. He was obviously not actually doing things according to the will of God in this moment, because he began to fear that it would be discovered the next day. I want you to understand something out of this. Breakthrough is, number one, not in your own strength. Breakthrough is not in your own strength. He was trying. He knew he had a call on his life. He knew he was supposed to be the deliverer of his people, but he was doing it in the wrong way. God put a call in his life, but now he was answering it in a different way. Glory to God. But once he began to understand, you know, sometimes when you arrive, people don't understand what it takes for you to get where you are. You can arrive somewhere. I remember Rodney Howard Brown said, well, people said, well, you just like appeared on the stage overnight. And he goes, no, because I was serving in Africa, riding on the back of a truck for 12 years before we ever got to here. They didn't understand what it took for him to get to the place of the anointing like he saw it when all the revival would flow. Glory to God. Now, this is a moment before Moses' burning bush. But when Moses confronts the burning bush, it begins to change him. Maybe the burning bush confronted Moses. Might be a better way to look at that. But here's the main thing, point four, that I want you to take out of this. The breaker secures you even in your failure. The breaker secures you even when you fail, as long as you don't stop. Don't let it stop you. We're all going to have a failure. I personally dislike failure, but we're going to have one. Don't stop. The breaker will secure you. So now we go to Exodus 14, and we see a very unusual scene, because in Exodus 14, Moses now has this opportunity. He has the opportunity to stand at the greatest gate ever. He has learned some humility by this point, and he's standing, and he's got all of Israel with him and all of Egypt pursuing him, and he's standing at the Red Sea. And Lord, I need a gate. I need a gate. Verse 13, but Moses said to the people, do not fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which he'll accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never rise and see them again forever. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent. Now, those were really brave words, considering what was going on inside his head. Because here's what's going on inside his head. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Why are you crying out to me? Lord, because they're over there. This is over here. They're coming to get me, and that's nowhere to go. I need a gate. Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. Lift up your staff. Stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. And the sons shall go through the midst on a dry land. Sometimes you have to step forward with courage and let the breaker open the gate for you. Let the breaker open the gate for you while you're already in motion, because you already said, okay, Lord, you said it, I'm doing it. I'm moving. Glory. Don't let the enemy intimidate you into going, what if he just stood there and all he did was look at the enemy? No, the Lord didn't even have him facing any. The Lord had him facing the Red Sea. Guess what? That probably looked a bit almost like the enemy anyway. But the Lord said, step in. Send them forth. Okay, God, send the small one first and see if they float. See what happens over here. Don't know how he did it, but once he did it, you know what? That was the greatest gate ever. It was a narrow place. There was pressure there. There was pressure in that narrow place. But guess what? God shows up. He wants to show up for you in the pressure place. He wants to show up for you in the narrow place. He wants to open the gate so that everybody can go through. And guess what? Once that gate had everybody through, the gate closed on those who tried to pursue. Glory to God. Notice what that did was actually, it set them up for the next thing. It set them up to be able to go to Gilgal eventually, to step into the freedom, to step into the inheritance, to step into the promise. But that doesn't happen without the first one. So know that even though those are progressive, sometimes the breaker will power you through to the next gate. He will power you through to the next gate. Just don't give up. Don't stop. Glory to God. In Matthew 19, it mentions the eye of the needle. You know, where the camel had to go through and into the eye, through the eye of the needle. And the only way for the camel to get through, because they would close up the external gates, and then at night, and for a merchant to come in, they would have to take all their baggage off. Let the breaker take the baggage. Let the breaker take the baggage off when you stand at your gates. He'll remove the burden. It takes discernment when you're in the pressure point to know what it is you're supposed to do. I heard a story about a gentleman who was watching a caterpillar, and it had been up and it got up in its cocoon, and it was trying to wiggle its way out. And when they first start trying to, there's a little bitty tiny hole, and they're trying to force themselves through that hole. So he thought he would help it. So he cut the end of the cocoon off. And then the butterfly came out. But because he never went through the pressure, it never pushed the blood into the wings. He was basically a wingless butterfly. See, sometimes it's the pressure that is on the gate that is going to cause you to become beautiful. It's the pressure that causes you to bloom and blossom and become who you're supposed to be. But we can see one more thing from this butterfly, because not only is it the pressure causing him to be who he's supposed to be, it also teaches us one another thing here, and that would be this, that breakthrough is not just an event, it's a change of life. It's a life change. It's a change. It becomes a state of being. See, the butterfly can never become a caterpillar again. He has no need of it. He has no need of running around on the ground. He has no need of climbing up hand over hand, or however they, foot over foot, I guess, however they want to call it. A butterfly just soars and floats right where he wants to go. Changes his state of being. Let the anointing of the breaker change your state of being. Let the anointing of the breaker change how you see yourself, how you respond, and how you get from place to place. Let the anointing of the breaker be with you, not just as a singular event, but an ongoing life change. Wednesday, I taught on Mark Bartimaeus out of Mark 10, verse 50. It was interesting because the Lord asked him, Bartimaeus was a blind man. And he gets to Jesus. Jesus calls him over when he's crying out, "Save me, son of David." And as he's crying out, "Save me, son of David," Jesus says, "Bring him here. Bring him here." Well, the interesting thing was when he was doing it, as he was coming, he took his beggar's coat and he threw it off and he threw it on the ground. I'm not going to need that thing anymore. Jesus is calling. The breaker is calling me. He had an anticipation for meeting the breaker. He had an anticipation for meeting the one who's going to shift and change everything about his life. It's important for us to have an anticipation for the breaker. And Jesus asked him to say, "What do you want me to do?" Well, hello, I'm blind. But he wanted him to make a statement. "I want you to restore my sight." You know, sometimes we forget to actually ask God for what we need. Or we feel it's not religious enough for me to say, "God, I need this." Don't forget, we got to ask. We got to ask. Make yourself known. That's right. Ask for them fishing rods. We got to ask. At one point in time, I asked for a motorcycle, and guess what? I got it. Now I'm asking for a Cadillac. Let's see what happens next. I'll keep you posted. You got to ask. Glory to God. That's interesting. So we need to have an expectancy in our breaker moment when we meet the breaker. Remember in Genesis 22, verse 17, that the Lord says that he will give, that you will possess the gates of your enemies. He's going to give you the way to fulfill your destiny because he gives you the authority over the gate. When I have authority over the gate, I get to decide what goes in or what goes out from the enemy. I get to decide what comes in and what comes out from the enemy's camp. And you know what? I'm deciding that nothing can come out from the enemy's camp. I don't need to have stuff coming out from the enemy's camp. I can put a seal on it. Put a seal on it. Fulfill your destiny because what? Because you already sealed up the enemy from pursuing. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amos 5. We've gotten through us a lot quicker than I was thinking, so that's good. Amos 5. Oh no. I ain't ready yet. Amos 5. Where is Amos 5? Here it is. Here we go. Verse 15. Hate evil, love good, establish justice, in the gate. Hate evil, love good, and establish justice in the gate. It's important for us to understand that when we're doing this, when we're following and we're drawing close to the one who is the breaker, that he will establish your purpose. And our first purpose of anybody is to hate evil and love good and establish justice at the gate. If I'm establishing justice at the gate, it allows the good things to pass through. If I'm establishing justice at the gate, it means that anything that is not just is not coming through. The gate was an important place socially in the Old Testament because that was where the leaders of the city would meet and discuss the events of the day. And things that, there were things that needed to be blessed and there were things that needed to be cut off. And it was all done right there at the gate. All right, God. Hallelujah. So the breaker is going to release purpose. Now, this last one is a little bit different. Okay? I'm going to just kind of, number one, I'll give you some scriptures. But remember Jacob. Remember Jacob? He started out life as the supplanter, the deceiver. He eventually became Israel, the one who prevails. Okay? But we see that Jacob, the supplanter, interfaced with God in Genesis 28:17, and he said, I did not know that this was the very gate of heaven. He interfaces with God and he sees the stairway to heaven. Not Led Zeppelin's stairway to heaven, but God's stairway to heaven. I love that. And she's by. Never mind. Don't play it backwards and you're all good. Stay on task. But then we see in Genesis 32:20, the encounters that Jacob, he's still Jacob, encounters the Lord at Penuel face to face, the Panim. In the face place, and he challenges, and he has a transformation, and so now he's encountered the Lord two times in two different ways, and he sees all this happening in his life, and there's a transformation process that legitimately happens in his life because God deals with the fear that he has of facing his brother, and so he goes out and he faces his brother, Esau, but when he's facing his brother, God dealt with the fear. But let me say what else did happen. Okay? He told him, verse 14, that he was, that he was going to head to Seir, where Esau was. But then verse 17, we see that he actually goes to Sukkot and sets up a house, sets up living quarters. He ain't going to Seir. When the breaker comes, we still have to make a choice. He let his old nature overrule what God had already established. You still have to make a choice. You can choose flesh if you want to. But you have to come to the point where you're trusting God enough to move into with him and move with him where he said you would go. He had actually promised God that he was going to go back to his homeland. Guess what? He didn't do it for a long time. Eventually it did come about because we see in chapter 35 where they come at Isaac's funeral and they're together. But there's a long time in between those two states. Where he continued to deal in the place of the flesh instead of dealing in the place of the overcoming that he had been given. I'm going to just let that camp on you there for just a moment. Glory to God. Even when we meet the breaker, we still have to choose. Choose well. Choose life. 1 Peter 10. Let me just turn there for a second, because 1 Peter 5, verse 10, after you've suffered. What's suffering? Suffering's another constricted place. It's a gate. He said, after you suffered a little while, the God of all grace who's called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Remember what we said about Boaz and Yakin? Boaz and Yakin, he was telling us there that all the things basically in the passage of Yahweh was he is our strength. He's the one who's going to strengthen you. All right? But it also, not only is it he is our strength, but he will establish you. This establishment is happening here in chapter five, because he's the one who will strengthen you. He's the one who will establish you. He's the one who's going to perfect you. It's all when we start meeting the breaker and seeing there is the breaker and this is what I can take advantage of. This is what I can operate with. This is how I can operate and release into this world around me. God wants to do something that changes you in a dynamic way. He wants to change you in such a dynamic way that you don't even look like you used to look. You don't sound like you used to sound. You don't say what you used to say, because now we're standing with God in a place of purpose. I got to watch my niece get married yesterday, which was an awesome thing. Yes. Amen. It was a great thing for Jaylen. It was a great thing for the family. But I wanted to tell you, the thing that really, really, really blessed me was hearing the testimonies. The testimonies of how other people were seeing her and interacting with her and finding her. Because see, I've known Jaylen for a long time. And I know a lot of stuff that those people don't know. Because he's family. But to see how that young lady has changed, to see what she's choosing now and what she's choosing to represent. She's making an effort to be where the Lord is taking her. She's making an effort to be the one who's allowing the breaker to operate on her behalf. It's awesome to see. We bring a testimony when we do that. Hallelujah. We bring a testimony. When we enter in, maybe you can play for just a second. When we enter in, we allow the Lord to move us into this new place. When we enter in, we have the opportunity to see him, to be imparted to by him. We have the opportunity to be changed and transformed. When we choose now to see him as the breaker, it means I no longer have to do everything else. I don't have to make it happen in my own strength. I can let the breaker start going forth on my behalf. I can start letting him remove the limitations. So, Lord, I choose you. I choose, Lord, to step in with you. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we choose to believe you, to believe in your faithfulness. We choose to believe in your faithfulness, Lord. John 14 says, if you will believe, Lord, that you have made a place for us, Lord. We choose to step into that place. We step in by faith, Lord, because you've already prepared this place. You said you would receive us. Receive us now. We step in, Lord, into this place of the door. Recognizing in the door that you are here. Recognizing in the door that you are my breaker. The breaker that goes before me. The breaker that puts an end to sin and death. The breaker that puts an end to the things that have assaulted me. The breaker that puts an end to everything around me that needs to die. It's the breaker that comes before me, exercising, opening the door, opening the passageway to Yahweh. I thank you for the opening, Lord. As we step in, for you perfect us. You complete us. You make us one. You make us one. We're one together. Received. Grateful to be with you. Grateful to ascend to this place of access that you've given to us. Grateful to be with you, Lord. This is the place, Lord. I thank you, the breaker, Lord. It's come to break in. Break into the promise. Break into the anointing. Break into the truth. Break into the light. Oh, you come to break up the fallow ground, Lord. Those hard, dry places of inertia, resistance, apathy. You break us up, Lord, through the second heaven to your place of this free access. All limitations, religious obstructions removed in this place. Removing the limitations, removing the effects of the hardship, removing the effects of yesterday. Because you break us up into your presence. We break out here from our former identity. We break out from the pain and the trauma. We break out from the hidden places, Lord, that we might come and serve you openly. We might come and serve you fully. We break out, Lord, that we might be known by your name. We break out because your breaker is upon us and with us. We break forth, Lord, in this place, into our promise, into our inheritance, into purpose, into freedom. Lord, we stand breaking forth into the place of freedom, into the place of liberty. We stand breaking forth, Lord, into your holiness, into your righteousness. We stand breaking forth, Lord, into the goodness and grace. We stand with you, Lord, because, Lord, you're with us as the breaker. You're with us as the breaker. You bring us before the Father as the breaker. You bring us before the Father, Lord, introducing us, breaking us into the love, breaking us into the grace, breaking forth, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the Baal Perazim, the breakthrough, the Lord of the breakthrough. Lord, you work on our behalf. You work on our behalf to turn obstacles into testimonies. You take dead ends and you create open doors, Lord. You take oceans and you make them into highways, Lord. You take hopelessness and you turn it into harvest, Lord. You take poverty and you turn it into abundance, Lord. You are breaking forth in us, Lord. This is a place of breakthrough today. A place of breakthrough, Lord. I celebrate breakthrough for my brothers. I celebrate breakthroughs for my sisters, Father. I celebrate breakthrough because you are the breaker and you're walking among us, bringing us into the light, bringing us into the holiness, bringing us into the righteousness. It's your breaker anointing. Lord, I thank you. You cause us to see you. You cause us to hear you. You cause us to look like you. Because it's the breaker in us, Lord, that has prepared the way. It's the breaker in us, Lord, that has gone before us. It's the breaker, Lord, that we celebrate. Who changes atmospheres. Who shifts, Lord, entire congregations. Who shifts, Father, entire cities, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your breaker anointing will shift a city in a moment, Lord. I thank you that you would turn life and death into life, Lord. That you would turn death into life as you step there in the breaker. As you stepped in the breaker, entire regions, Father, were affected, Lord. Entire regions came into a place of salvation, a renewing of the place of favor, a restoration of the house of favor. I thank you for the restoration of favor over this house as we come with you, Lord. Restoration of favor over the house, Father. Restoration of favor over the individuals, Father. I thank you for restoration of favor on this house, Father, and on those, Father, who are associated with 10640 Jones Road. I thank you, Lord, that as we stand before you, you've given us, Father, a restoration of favor as we govern according to your wisdom. You've drawn us in to see your face. You've drawn us in to see you face to face, transforming our identity. Transforming doubt now becomes belief. Transforming, Lord, that which was stolen, Lord, now is being retrieved, being restored. I thank you for the house of restoration. Father, I thank you for changing us into a house of restoration because we stand before you, the restorer or the repairer of the breach. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your heart. You restore us.
I answer the Holy of Holies.
Yes, Lord. We stand with you.
I enter through the blood of the Lamb.
If there's something in you that you want to just get right with the Lord, if you want to just come and step into His favor, I ask you to just come to the altar. You don't need somebody praying for you. Just pray. Bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. Honor Him. Honor Him. He's the restorer. He's the repairer. He's the one who shifts our life. He's the one who gives us value. He's the one who restores everything that was stolen. If the enemy has stolen something from you, come and lay it before the Lord. Lay it before the Lord and let Him be the one who repairs that.